lot of different directions with that, like in the same direction, but you have to be led of the Spirit where he wants to take you, how he wants to use you, where he wants to put you. You don't get to choose how you want to be done. You have to trust the Spirit to use you as he wants to use you, I guess, because you're a slave to Christ.
Amen. So is it safe to say, and we're doing, I just started an audio, so we're doing audio on how to walk in the Spirit and what it means. So is it safe to say, like, we do have liberty, like where we preach and even to a certain extent how we preach and who we preach to, we have liberty. But is it safe to say that when you're Spirit-led, and again, this is all assuming you're born again by the biblical gospel, that's who we're talking about here, so we're not going into that depth covering it. But is it safe to say, is this the right term? It's on God's terms, not yours.
Oh, yeah.
That God wants you serving him on his terms, like the strange fire in Leviticus priest. Don't be bringing me that. Walk on my terms. Do it my way. So to be led of the Spirit means we're doing it on God's terms and doing it his way and letting him guide us and not us. I think James has something to say about that. James says, we will go if the Lord wills. Not, I'm going to do this, and yeah, that'll be my service to God. I think that's kind of, not kind of, that's not being Spirit-led. But we can say, hey, next weekend we're going to preach at this event, if the Lord wills. Maybe he doesn't give us that day. Maybe I'm dead before then. Maybe I better be careful about that. Maybe I'll go in a different direction. So to be Spirit-led is, I think, here's another one. So we talked about being humble. This is after you're born again. So being Spirit-led, be humble. Know who you are. Don't rise above who you are. And we're all fallen before God, imperfect beings. And then the other one would be walk where you're called and walk in your equipping. I did an audio not too long ago about walking in your equipping. Is it possible to walk way ahead of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
You get way ahead of him and you're doing stuff that he never led you to do. God doesn't want you doing that. So you get ahead. So walk with the Holy Spirit, him leading you, not you walking ahead, thinking, yeah, you're kind of leading the Holy Spirit around. Which I know no one would say, I'm leading the Holy Spirit around, but could we live that way in our actions, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. So humility, make sure that we're not walking ahead of the Holy Spirit. Making sure that we're doing things on God's terms, his will, his ways. That would be, you know, obviously preaching the gospel rightly. How about like apply it to like our own personal life? Forget witnessing. We'll cover that in a minute. How are you Spirit led in your own personal life? Just you. Forget wives, forget children, forget brothers, sisters, just you. How are you Spirit led in your everyday life? Go ahead, brother.
I would say everything that revolves around your witness, because it's a living sacrifice. So things like even the smallest things, like how you spend your money, because it's the Lord's resources.
Yeah,
now.
You're a steward.
So when you go into a store, you look at something. Do I really need this? Would this glorify the Lord? Am I using the best use of my resources? No, I'm not going to get that. Or yeah, I could really use this. I can see how this would be useful. This would be a good price for this thing. I'm going to take that. And it's like even those small discernments, those small details, they really affect your witness as a born again Christian.
Yeah, amen. And I guess if we're talking about being Spirit led, we cannot go on long without talking about John 16 verse 13. And if you guys have got any scriptures to share, pull them up. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, well, let's stop there. So if you're going to be Spirit led, you got to be in the truth, don't you?
Amen.
The Spirit's never going to lead you into false ways. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you. So are you being guided by the Holy Spirit? These are just all practical things. So the Spirit's leading you in truth. He's guiding you, and like Brother Kuh was saying, in every aspect of your life. We always say it in the streets, how you talk, how you act, how you spend your money, how you dress, who you associate with, what you preach, what you believe. All of these things are guided by the Holy Spirit. And then it says, he will guide you into all truth. So we talk about this with the churchianity people. They say, well, I don't know a lot of truth, and I'm probably missing a lot of truth. And you find out they've been a believer for 35 years. Brother Aku and I witnessed to a guy today. He'd been a believer for 50 years. He didn't even have the gospel down pat, let alone come out of the culture and the pagan holidays of churchianity and all. 50 years. What is he doing for 50 years? And he's not led of the Spirit to truth, all truth. So we're led into all truth. And it says, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall speak, or excuse me, whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. In John 14, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit will come, and he's going to, I think it's John 14, let me look it up, talks about he's going to reprove the world of sin when he comes. And that's another area that we can talk about. Actually, it is John 16, 16:8. When he has come, he will reprove, that means convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So before we go on to anything else, if we're Spirit-led, humility, doing it God's way, making sure he's reigning in our lives, but all aspects of our lives need to be under the Holy Spirit. And what are the main things that he does? There's three main things the Holy Spirit does. He teaches, he comforts, he convicts, and of course he brings joy, inner calm, and peace. So if we're led by the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it be good to like judge how we're doing in those categories?
Yeah.
Those four categories would be pretty important. Is he working our life? Are we testing ourselves, judging ourselves, and is the Holy Spirit convicting us of things, and are we listening to it and then responding appropriately? If we're not being corrected and guided and instructed by the Holy Spirit, I don't think we're being Spirit-led. I know we're not being Spirit-led. Make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
So that would be one that I would throw out there. Another one is he convicting us? Is he teaching us lessons? Is he giving us comfort and joy? That's his main work that he does within us. And so over the days, the weeks, the months, the years that you've been a believer, how are you doing at that? Sharpening your discernment on what's right. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you that. All things he's going to teach you, all truth. How are you doing at that? A person that's following Christ says they're born again, but is not becoming sharper in discernment, sharper in self-judgment, sharper in improving sanctification, growing in their completeness and their maturity, I think you have to question how much of the Holy Spirit, or if you're following the Holy Spirit much of the time. Because what kind of work is the Holy Spirit going to do in a person? Are we going to stay in our same issues? Are we going to stay in our, you know, pride, our rebellion, our flesh? Those things should start coming to be overcome, right?
Amen.
So what else would you guys say about the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit?
Romans 8:13-14. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it's literally fighting against putting to death and killing the flesh.
Yeah, that's a good one. How much over the weeks, days, weeks, months, and years you've been following Christ, how much of your flesh has been killed and put away in unison with the Holy Spirit working in you? I think that's a good indication if you're led of the Spirit or not.
I think to kind of go along with that exhortation to pray without ceasing, we have to be praying without ceasing, and I'm finding this out more and more, and giving thanks always, and basically giving thanks for the Lord in every situation, and asking him what I should do in this situation, where I should go in this situation. There's a verse, I believe in Proverbs, that talks about lean not on thine own understanding.
Yep.
In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. So we have to get used to that constant dialogue with the Lord, asking him, going over verses in our mind, saying, is this really of God? Is this good, pure, true, acceptable, holy, of good report, and whatnot? And it's that constant discernment. And, yeah, I'm starting to recognize that more and more.
Yeah. Yeah, seeking that inner guidance from the Holy Spirit, not just doing our own thing, and walking in what he can do in us, because that's our connection to Christ. Jesus said, I'll send the Holy Spirit. He'll manifest himself to you. Or, excuse me, that's how I manifest myself to you, is through the Holy Spirit. So, Brother Zelos did a study on we don't have a relationship with Jesus. We have a covenant. And so the relationship that we have, if anybody wants to call it a relationship, I don't like that word, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us that Jesus communicates the word to us through. He's not visiting us, not talking out loud to us, not having coffee with us. So relationship is really not a good term at all. It's he's manifesting himself, which means he's revealing, and it always takes us to the word, does it not?
Amen.
Yeah. So what else would we say if somebody said, well, what do you mean, walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit?
I've got just one to toss out there. Being Spirit-led and walking in how you submit to the truth. As in, when you're corrected or reproved of something, how do you submit to it, in the spirit or in the flesh?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, we talked about like the first reaction. If it's fleshly and denial, then that's not a good sign that we're walking in the Spirit. And we got to repent of that and get back to what the Spirit would have us do, to be contrite and to be humble. Hey, brother, that verse, Proverbs 3:5, I just looked it up. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I just wanted to look that verse up. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. What's your response to correction? Rebuke. Which Proverbs says, rebuke a scorner or a fool and he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. So when people get mad at us for correction, I guess we know what category they're put in, according to the Bible. But when people say, wow, thank you for telling me that truth, I needed to hear that, I really appreciate that, I guess we know what category they're in, and there's a chance they're being led by the Spirit.
And a thought just came to mind. We not only have to know the truth, which the Spirit leads us into all truth, the Word of God, knowing the Word of God and understanding the Word of God, we not only have to know it, but we have to walk in it. And I think that part of walking in the Spirit is not only do we know the Word of God really well, everything we know in the Word of God, like either that's a sin, we purge it out, or that's something we should be doing, we apply it to our life. And that's how we also walk in the Spirit, is we're aligning our life, being conformed to the image of His Son by the Spirit.
Amen. Yeah, that's it. That's another great point. Another great point. If we're talking about the Spirit, we would be remiss if we don't go to Galatians 5. And, of course, we got to talk about, you know, what's not of the Spirit. The works of the flesh, I'm looking at Galatians 5:19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Go look up these words. They happen all the time. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such, of which I tell you before, and as I've told you in past time, They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So much for you can just do all that stuff and just have faith only and you're going to make it to the kingdom. No, that's fruit. You're not walking in the Spirit. 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we don't know if we're walking in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. So just test yourself to those things to see. Meekness, humility, humbleness, gentleness. We know meekness is like submitted to God's word. Temperance. Self-control. So we can test ourselves and go, hey, am I under control of my flesh most all times? No one's going to be perfect all the time, but most times am I under control of my flesh? How am I doing at these fruits of the Spirit? Long-suffering, which is patience. 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Those are some pretty good fruits, aren't they?
Amen.
Those can be applied to every area of our life. Are we loving the people around us? Do we walk with joy? Do we seek peace? Are we patient? Is there gentleness of those who need it? Yeah, some people need a rebuke. We get that. Goodness. How about faith? It says faith. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Hey, I have faith that God's going to give me the power or give me the ability to do this and get it done. If I don't have that, am I walking in the Spirit?
No.
Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And then I wanted to go to the other ones that nobody ever talks about, Ephesians 5:9, which would be the fruits of the Spirit. Or I'll read it. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So these are also virtue, uprightness of heart, life, goodness, kindness. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Well, righteousness, we know what that's all about. Righteousness, in a broad sense, a state of righteousness, a condition, acceptability to God. So there you go. Are my actions and my motives and what I'm doing on a daily basis, whether it's to me, my wife, my children, my brethren, the ministry, the world, is this acceptable to God? How I'm doing it, why I'm doing it, the motives I'm doing, what I'm doing, is this acceptable to God? Isn't that the fruit that we're out walking in the Spirit?
Yep.
Amen.
And then truth, that explains itself, that which is true. I mean, we don't even have to talk about the definition of truth. We're walking in sound doctrine that saves us, 1 Timothy 4:16. So we covered a lot of things about what it looks like to walk in the Spirit in like your daily life. How about like when dealing with people, like when it comes to like witnessing? Brother Koo and I were talking about this. What's your thoughts on that, Brother Koo?
I did daily audio about this, the sword of the Spirit. It's, let's see. Yep, Ephesians 6:17 and 18, and I'll go to 19 and 20. Okay. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God is the Spirit's sword. I like thinking about it like that. The Spirit knows best how to use the word of God. If we yield ourselves to how the Spirit wants to use the word of God instead of thinking about how we can lead people down certain trails. A lot of times men in intellectual debates do that. They try to trap their opponents in certain things, or they try to lead them down certain trails so they can lead them in certain directions and whatnot. If we drop that man's wisdom and we just say, and we just let the Spirit, praying always, as it says in verse 18, and praying unceasingly, asking the Lord where I should go with the conversation, what does this person need to hear? The Spirit will use his sword, which is the Word of God, and he'll make those, it's almost like surgery, he'll make those precision cuts where he needs to cut people. And it's almost like you can see the demeanor change, and I love that. You can see like the countenance change when you cut something. And it's almost like they're thinking about it, and they're like, wow, I didn't think about that before. Or, you know, you got a point there. I got to look into that. And that's the coolest thing. But you have to yield to the Spirit using its sword.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, man, that was a good study you did. I would follow up with Revelation 19:15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, talking about Christ, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. So, yeah, in witnessing, we don't want to be about, like, facts and figures and winning debates. We want to be used of God to, proclaim truth. But we want to tell truth that people need to hear. And only the Spirit really knows what they need to hear. And so if we're in tune with the Spirit, he can use us to speak forth that which people need to hear to convict them. Because everything, the goal is redemption. When even when I rebuke somebody and send them away, like I had to do today to a man on text, I warned him in love, tried 2, 3, 4 times to help him with his heresy. He just mocked on, and I said, I got to let you go and send you away. Oh, you're not loving, he said. I said, it is loving. I warned him about his false ways. I pointed him to the truth at the website and the Word of God, and I loved him. But the whole goal is redemption, not to throw him, you're bound for hell for no, you know, you have no hope other than that. No, you warn him to come back, turn, forsake your sin and your false ways. Like James 5 says, save a soul from death that goes into sin. So I think that's another fruit. How about that's another fruit of the Holy Spirit? Ready? Is everything you do for redemption. Even when you rebuke a false teacher, a modern pastor, it should be the goal is calling him out so that you can say things and give him information and the gospel and truth so that he will be convicted and repent. That should be the goal of everything that we do. That make sense?
Amen. Redemption and God's glory.
Yeah, because we say it all the time in the street. We're not better than these worldly people. Some of us were in false doctrine at one point in time. And so we're not beneath and removed from all that. Now, we get it. If they're rebellious and they're totally fighting against God's word and they're living in the in bitterness and sin and wickedness and rebellion, yeah, they need a rebuke. Paul says rebuke. That means correct, instruct. And then he says, mark them and avoid them. But the goal should be redemption. What's our heart? What's our heart? Are we happy that false teacher's going away and going to burn in hell? Or are we happy that the Lord put us in his path to give him truth he needed that someday may click and he may go, yeah, that street preacher told me that. I rebuke in love every Jehovah's Witness I see set up at a booth. Why? Because I hate them and I'm lavishing and loving that they're going to burn in hell? No. My plea to them is you're in a cult. You're following a false Christ and a gospel that won't save you. Listen to these words. You need to repent and turn. Test yourself. Our website helps you. Reach out. You need to repent or you're going to lose your soul. The whole point, and I think that's the Spirit that teaches us to love God, love our brethren, love our neighbor, and yeah, even love our enemies. That's what Jesus said, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we're hitting on a lot of good points. Any more of what? So we talked about witnessing. We talked about being led by the Spirit, wanting to say what the Spirit needs to tell us to say to convict them, not be trying to win debates. How about like in relationships in the body? How can we be Spirit-led there? Brother Akuo, I'm going to say, is it one word or two words? Man-pleasing. Talk about that. Is that one word or two words, by the way?
I think you put a hyphen between them. I don't know if it's categorized.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, man-pleasing is a cancer because the Spirit of God, the love of God is that we keep His commandments and that we keep ourselves in the truth, we keep ourselves in the life. I have no greater love or joy than to see my children walk in the truth.
Amen.
And when a brother or sister is not walking in the truth, or perhaps they stumble.
Yeah, what do we do?
We have to, in love, call them out. And I want to bring up that verse because I think it's a really good verse. Saving a soul from death, I think.
Yep.
What verse is that?
James 5. I think it's 19 and 20.
James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Is that not a dagger verse in once saved, always saved?
That's a dagger.
How do you slither like a wicked evil snake out of that verse if you believe in once saved, always saved? I've heard people try to say it. They said, oh, well, that's not for believers. I said, it says brothers, brethren. And then they said, well, it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. It says you save a soul from death. The last time I checked, going to be with the Father is not death. It's life. So sorry, I wanted to throw that in there. So Spirit-led, what do we do? We just like the guy today that talked to us, the one who was a Christian for 50 years, and he said, well, can't we go along and just get along? We don't have to say anything bad about people. I don't want to hurt your feelings. And, you know, it's okay if we agree to disagree, and let's just shake hands and everything's all good. Is that how we are, Brother Cool?
No, we tell people the hard stuff they need to hear, even if it hurts feelings, even if it's not what that person wants to hear, because we want to keep them in the truth, and it's a very narrow path. Very few are going to make it in. So man-pleasing, that's one thing you have to root out, like, right away, because that has no place in the truth. And it's a struggle, especially because the world trains people up to man-please. But
yeah, by the way, can I say something? Man-pleasing, I think everybody thinks, oh, you want to please other people. Did you know man-pleasing can be this? Pleasing myself.
Yep.
I'm going to do what I want to do, what I think I want to do. I want to do. You're man pleasing yourself.
Yeah.
And that's not spirit led.
Yeah. I just had a thought in that. Would that be tied? And this is the opposite of being spirit led, autonomy.
Oh, autonomy. We haven't talked about that for a while. Yeah, go ahead. Talk about that.
While man-pleasing yourself and doing things, autonomy is self-governance. So doing things your own way or doing what you want to do, you're quenching the Spirit, and it's prideful. And if you don't repent of that, God's going to take your light away. And you got to humble yourself and lay down your own will.
Amen.
To be led by the Spirit. The Spirit can't lead you in your own way. The Spirit has to lead you in Christ's way.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's a great one, autonomy. The opposite of being spirit-led is autonomy, self-governance. Man-pleasing comes in there, whether you're doing it for yourself or, well, you know, I don't really want to bring that up to this brother because he's going to get mad, might cause division between our relationships. We'll just overlook that. And it's like, no, we have to be led of the Spirit. We have to please God first, not be a man-pleaser. Yeah, brother.
And if you are spirit-led, born of the Holy Spirit will not let you sit on that.
Yeah.
He'll convict you because that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does, and he'll poke and prod you. He won't let you rest. He won't let you be live like normally in peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, he'll say, you have to get this out. Like, you can't hide that stuff in the dark.
Yeah. Amen. And that brings up two points that I want to cover. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself. All right. So I think the Holy Spirit will lead you to examine and judge and test yourself harsher than anyone else, then your house, then your body, then people that claim Christ, and then the world we preach the gospel to. So that's a leading of the Holy Spirit. You're testing, you're examining, because the Holy Spirit wants to cleanse you, sanctify you, make you spotless, make you complete and mature. So that's one. And then the other one is, are you willing to do what the Holy Spirit tells you with your relationships, that so that it'll please the Father and not please yourself and please people around you? And that includes, like, whatever's in you. So you want your brothers to come tell you your faults, even if it's uncomfortable, and you're willing to tell them their faults, sins, even if it's uncomfortable. That's being Spirit-led. We talked about it today in Acts 8, when Peter rebuked Simon for wanting to buy the Holy Spirit. Peter was Holy Spirit-led, and he didn't say, well, let's just all go along, get along. Peter, I mean, Simon, you're saved. Don't worry about it. A little bit of sin. I know you just kind of goofed up a little bit. No, he rebuked him and said, you're in the gall of sin and iniquity. You better hope that God gives you repentance. And Simon was like, whoa, pray that doesn't happen to me. And so that's being led by the Spirit, doing the work of the Father, clinging to sound doctrine, doing the hard things, first to yourself, then to your house, then to your body, then to the people that claim Christ around us that we witness around, and then going and preaching the gospel to the world. That's a pretty good litmus test, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
And then I have two other ones. Consistency. You think the Holy Spirit brings us consistency? I think he does. When he teaches us something and we know it, we should have it down pat. And after a certain amount of time, we should have that done. We should know how to do it. We're trained. We don't go back to it again. I think consistency is a big one. And then how long? This is a big one with churchianity. Well, most of them aren't born again, but let's just assume they say they are. Most of them are not. They're false converts. Ready? Well, I'm pondering that one. Like a sin or a false doctrine. And I've had pastors that I've told them sins like their pagan Christmas and Easter and all that, and they know about it and they can't refute it biblically, and 5 years later they're still doing it. I have a question. Is that evidence that you're Holy Spirit led? Does the Holy Spirit keep you in sin when you know it's sin and you just go, well, push that one off, put it out of the window? No. Holy Spirit won't let you rest, will he?
Nope.
So, those are some of the ones I had. Any other thoughts on just kind of off the cuff we started talking about being Holy Spirit led? That we could go on for hours on this, but anything in your own personal lives? I'll go first. In your own personal life, give us an example of it. I'll go here. When I witness and when I go out in the world, I try to be Holy Spirit led, and oftentimes God guides me to people that need what I had to say to them. And I find that if I'm Holy Spirit led versus I got to go out and give out gospel cards like a excited maniac, I got to give them out. Okay, that's zeal. But if I go and I go, I'm going to be used of God, Lord, guide me. Where's this going? Who needs this? I find that often it goes to people that seemingly need it. And that's, to me, is very rewarding, because I know God's using me and I know I'm being led to the Spirit, because I can't find these people on my own. So, Brother Kuo, what would be an example of in your own life that you've seen being led by the Spirit?
I would say being led of the Spirit in decisions about, like I said before, anything that involves your witness, like in just normal everyday life. So maybe like your job.
Yeah.
What you do for a job, or what you buy, how you're spending your money, or how you dress, how you're dressing every day, and how you present yourself to the public, and everything like that that revolves around your... So the Holy Spirit will guide you not only into the big truths of the God's word, but he'll also fine-tune all of the details of your life to glorify God in every facet. So I found a lot of fine-tuning in the details of my life that I didn't think were important way back, but I see how important they are to the walk of a Christian. Because if someone looked into your life, let's say they look into your house or like your family or your job or whatever they're doing, and they say, hey, why are you working that job? That's working at this place, which supports this, 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 and this, and you're kind of supporting that, aren't you, and whatnot. So you want to be, or they make you wear a uniform or something like that that shows off to your body. Why are you working there? That kind of a thing. So it's those little things.
Yeah, having a good witness in all those areas matter.
Oh, yeah.
Amen, amen. Brother Zealous, how about you?
I'd say one of the things that continuously amazes me about the Spirit is how God takes you in places where he can best mold you and prune you and grow you. And he puts you in situations where you would never have thought you'd be in that situation, but then when you're in that situation, you learn something that you would have never learned any other way. Well, maybe you would have, but it probably would have taken a lot longer.
Is it like an olive in a press and the only way to get the oil out is squeeze it?
Yeah, but it's the way God puts you into those places,
yeah,
that would like that kind of always like it's. I think it's the Spirit leading and guiding you so that it's proof you're in the vine. Because if you're in the vine and God's pruning you, that's proof you're in the vine. Because if you're in it and God's pruning you, it's so you can bring forth more fruit. If you're not being pruned and the Spirit isn't working to convict and reprove and show you your sin, then that's proof you're not being in the vine and you're not being led of it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. What I would throw in there is that hopefully we're, as we grow and we're maturing and we're perfecting, we're being pruned on different things and not the same things over and over and over. That would show growth. And I think maybe we'll leave it here with this verse unless you guys have other verses. Colossians 1:10. I think this is the fruit of the Spirit here too. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. It kind of goes along with Brother Koo was saying, in everything, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I think everybody, that's a great point to be Spirit-led. Who are you in Christ? How long have you been in Christ? And then everybody should look at their walk and go, how have I done? How am I doing? Where am I at? How am I increasing in the knowledge of God? How am I walking worthy into all pleasing? And by being fruitful in every good work. And I think if you're honest with yourself and you find a good grade and you go, wow, that's really the Holy Spirit working in me, because I can't pull that off. He's really working in me. If you see that you're lacking greatly in any of those areas, I think that's where you need to cry out to God, pray fast, put your mouth in the dust, as they say, and find out why you're lacking. Because I can promise you, if we're lacking, it's our fault, not the Holy Spirit. He not falling down on the job. It's on us. And so I think that's a good litmus test. Are we worthy of the Lord in all pleasing? Are we being fruitful in every good work? Your family, your life, your brethren, your ministry, everything. And are you increasing in the knowledge of God like this? And I think that's a good, something good to aim for, to be Spirit-led and be used of God more and more and more. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Awesome. Amen. Anything else on being led by the Spirit, brothers?
Nope, that's all I had.
All right, we'll leave it right there.